They waited, quiet, while Eddard Stark said a silent farewell to the home he loved. When he turned away from the window at last, his voice was tired and full of melancholy, and moisture glittered faintly in the corners of his eyes. My father went south once to answer the summons of a king. He never came home again. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinoza.
Never coming home again.
Damn, dude, that was dark.
That was some real shit.
Yeah, I know.
That was from a book that Luke has respect for. So that's like exactly. That's like the deep cuts, Will.
I wanted to choose something really impactful, really near and dear to his heart.
Yeah.
Beloved listeners, this is why Will is a great host. I would have picked the most troll quote, like nipples on a breastplate to say, but like four of those in a row.
Dude,
like,
does our other podcast even have an opening?
The second song? It should always just be Kyle going, whoa.
No. Oh. I think you guys need to snip out one of the old snippets of Kyle yelling, konnichiwa, bitches.
That's trademarked. How would we ever find one?
I don't know.
I'm sure it can be done.
I don't know. I think before Aaron talking about first edition all the time, I think the most hated thing by listeners was Kyle screaming, konnichiwa, bitches. I remember that was like the thing that people hated when I started on this show. They were like, I loved it, Kyle. That's one of the things I loved about
it. It was as loved as it was hated. And for every person out there who was like, that shit needs to go, there was someone telling me, fight the good fight, Kyle. You konnichiwa as long as you can konnichiwa.
I feel like that is
just because that's what Danny told you.
I feel like that is made up.
Fact.
Whatever Danny and Luke tell you, it does not necessarily, Luke Reed, to be clear, here, is not, you know, what you should listen to necessarily in this case, Kyle.
Which Danny? You didn't specify that either.
That's true.
Oh, you know, the lead designer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He might be a huge fan.
I mean, he loves
we all know he listens to this show regularly, right?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Rumor has it, it's flavor text on a Bear Box card.
Oh my god, you let our spoilers out before. Come on, Kyle. Oh god.
Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. Bear Box next box.
Man, just
with Kyle Vantle flavor text.
Like, guys, please don't believe them, because you know that there's going to be a fucking thread on the Facebook group being like, guys, the Bear Box is the next, the White Box spoiled it.
I hear it has sweet flavor text.
Except then they'd be like, wait, this has to be a joke. Luke is actually on an episode.
Yeah, that's you know it's trolling.
Look, this is how we don't, but here, I'm being honest with you all. Luke is so beloved by FFG that they gave us that spoiler. The Bear Box is the next box.
There we go. Calling it now.
We were saving it for the end of the episode. But Kyle just Michiwa'd it right into the beginning of the episode. So, great. Like, all of that effort to get that spoiler, and Kyle just fucked it up.
Right down the drain.
Yeah.
Right down. Well, all that political capital
just evaporated.
Wasted.
Like that.
Wasted.
Sometimes you just have to konnichiwa.
And like 99% of the time you don't.
Right, that's transition. Cue music. That's a great one.
No one got introduced.
I feel like I should, you know, here really late, tell the listeners what the hell is going on. This is episode 317 of The White Book. This is the last episode for 2017. You won't hear us again until the new year. And so things are kind of just going to the dogs this week. We are doing kind of a year recap, farewell show to Luke, fun time. We're already not super structured, but this is going to sound, I'm afraid, more like the second son. Normal. So,
and I didn't even have to like do anything.
We'll see.
A disaster. You're promising a disaster.
It does, man.
It's
like
just your presence.
It's gonna be fun to see.
Go ahead, Kyle.
I'm like, what? It's 3-on-2. Roy and Will are gonna desperately try to keep us yeah. on track, and me, you, and Glazer just say stupid shit. Sorry.
Well,
stupid
something
crap.
Like that.
Which is less explicitive? Crap or shit?
There's no way to know.
I mean, we do have two English teachers.
Explicitive isn't so, explicitive isn't
we don't choose the English
word.
Teachers.
I almost inserted another expletive.
I'm using a more international vocabulary, so when we translate this,
oh sure,
it goes over better.
It's fine. I also look. I don't believe in the tyranny of grammar, so keep saying the words, Kyle. As long as I can understand your implicit
okay,
meaning,
so,
oh my
that's
God.
All that matters.
Thank you, Roy. We appreciate that.
You're going to hell. That's what you just decided.
I hope going you have to hell? Hell.
Roy. Thank you, Ali. Yes, grammar is a social construct.
Class
construct.
I'm not sure that that's entirely out of the realm of possibilities.
That's
definitely it's totally a dichotomy of class.
I mean,
descriptivism standard, and prescriptivism is absolutely no, a dichotomy of class.
Sure, standard.
Is it?
No. Time out.
Okay,
slow your ass
this
down.
This is an insult,
I'm
right?
Calling
we are insulting
on,
Glazer.
We are going to put listeners to sleep.
No.
No one
standard,
wants to
no, I'm,
are you just
going to
drop some damage on the open right now?
I am damn well going to no standard written English is absolutely a class conference.
And that's 100% true. By Thoreau, and we all went to sleep.
Oh, Kyle, this is how we know man. You and I are good friends, but intimate friends. I hate Thoreau.
Rolling over in his grave.
So. Sometimes I
be.
Cut down trees just to make sure he's hurting somewhere. Just cut down trees.
Okay. Real. The real deal.
The
here.
Real deal. Tiffy. The real deal.
Tree falls in the forest and
who
no gets, one is around to hear
shit.
It. Doesn't make
only
sense.
If you fed beef. Only if you feed beef
who
to first.
Who had Thoreau references on the end of 17 ooh. Bingo card for White Ball?
Maybe that's what we should do, like, leading up to the actual airing of the episode, is just put that up on the Facebook group.
We should publish that.
Oh, yeah, we should make bingo cards. We'll get on that. I don't feel like you're time sinking enough into this show, so if you could just work on making a side game for your podcast,
you know, actually, maybe that's what we'll do this year instead of a meme contest. Maybe we'll have a White Book bingo contest. I don't know. We'll see. I think it could be good.
And then we'll have to mail them into you, and only you get to see them. And then we'll just see who looks into getting a bingo first.
Snail mail them all into Will's mailbox. I just love,
I love it.
And they all have to be like yeah. on the back of a Christmas card with your.
You know,
family.
I never get real mail anyway. It's just magazines and junk mail. Oh, okay. Well, so obviously I'm Will. With us this week is Luke for his epic farewell tour, as well Kyle returns, Roy returns, and Aaron returns. There we go.
For his
part
farewell
two,
tour.
Part two.
Again.
Again.
Part 7, 75,681.
Aaron, like Rush, has figured out that if you just constantly do a farewell tour, you will just constantly keep the masses coming.
Yeah, because I...
And I'm like the Brett Favre right now, where everybody just assumes, like, I don't think he's actually done.
I've already made your jersey.
Yeah, at least somebody else was picking up what I was putting down. God, the rest of y'all suck ass.
Is sucking ass explicit?
You know what, man? I don't care.
I thought it was... I thought it was explicit.
I'm not the one getting us the explicit rating.
I want to go back to
I have been personally responsible for, I think, every E rating that we've ever gotten. Like, since I've been on
You, sir, were not on
since I've been on the show.
I was once told... we were worse than the Wolf of Wall Street.
I do remember that, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about since I've been on the show. Like, obviously, like...
I don't know, like, how many F-bombs Kyle drop in an episode?
Well, I was on, like, when you were on hiatus, Kyle, and I was, like, picking up the slack of being the profane idiot who always derailed Will.
He's not wrong.
I appreciate that.
Luke is a profane idiot.
I mean, this look at how well he's tanked to this whole episode already.
I just like show up and everybody just loses their mind. Like I don't know how to talk about anything related to the actual topic.
Let's get into
transition.
The topic, okay.
I was like, we haven't even said what we're off topic from yet.
Yeah, exactly.
What's this podcast about again?
So, this week we have a special feature. We are stealing a topic once again from another show far funnier than our own. We're stealing a little bit from Cardboard of the Rings. I want to welcome all you listeners to the White Book Law Offices, a kangaroo court and subsidiary of the Law Offices of Sean.
Yeah, that's a Cardboard of the Rings reference.
What? Just go with it,
Glazer.
Just roll with it. Just roll with it. Okay, so what we're going to do, dear listeners and co-hosts, because I feel like I need to explain this again to my co-hosts, is we are going to hold mock trials for various cards and aspects of the game. Now, prior to this episode, we have already elected a judge who we will be presenting the merits of our respective cases to provide his just and, I don't know, wise rulings upon them. That is the man of the hour.
Wisdom has no place in the American court system.
Who said this was American? This is Westerosi.
Uh-oh.
Hey!
Thanks, man.
Congrats on the judgeship.
So yeah, I'm the judge, and I will be passing profane and idiotic rulings on the cases based solely upon the merits of the cases presented before me. But I am not immune to bribes, shameless pandering, and ridiculous fits of laughter will be awarded favorably. We'll just say that.
Yeah. The goal of this is
so this really is a real court.
Well, we don't have a sketch artist, so I don't think it's really official until someone puts out some really sweet like house card sketches of this. You know, listeners, if one of you wanted to do that.
I feel like somebody should like draw the things I do for love with me just like being pushed out the window as like the farewell white book card.
That would be pretty great.
I keep forgetting this is the way Puck and have to actually listen when you guys are talking. This is very frustrating.
You don't have to listen.
Sorry.
You don't have to listen to us very much longer. Sure. Then you get to just like do what you always do, which is talk over people and make your argument.
Yeah. My wife's not letting me. It's very difficult.
This is true.
Argument is a strong word.
So,
point of view.
Here we go. Here's what we're going to do. We have our judge elected. I am going to be our, I don't know. I don't know about court. Bailiff? Do they announce the cases? Who announces the case? No one knows.
Sure. Oh my God.
No one. So.
Oh my God. I'm just not even going
to. Roy knows all the answers to these questions. You could just ask him.
The bailiff is the one that like actually like handles like prisoners and shit.
You know, that's not what night court taught me.
Oh my god.
Anywho.
Really? So. All right, thanks, Judge Reinhardt. Let's
that
just
was
go
the most
on. All right,
dated goddamn reference. Holy shit.
Hey, have you looked at the Thrones community? I gotta say, we're getting more and more gray hairs.
Yeah, seriously? I read this.
Long in the tooth.
I read this Facebook post, like, how to make friends over 30, or why it's so hard to make friends over 30. It's like, just play Game of Thrones, guys. It's not really a fucking problem.
Okay, so
now, are we going to talk about how sad it was? You're reading an article about how to make friends over.
It was on a Facebook group.
If someone can work that into one of these arguments, I don't know, but I would expect it. But
I mean, I'm not over 30, so
yeah, close enough. Woo-hoo. You have an old soul.
So basically, what Will is saying is that like I'm a boring bitch. All right, let's keep going.
Whoa!
Okay,
I'm saying
up
like
me other than
your mint juleps.
I do love mint juleps, though.
All right, I call dibs on Roy for my team.
Okay,
all right, Kyle.
So
you and
I'm
are,
with Will. You poor bastards! You have no chance.
This is gonna be great.
The dream team.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So this is gonna
oh,
be.
God, I'm excited.
We're gonna modify this ever so slightly from how they handled it on Cardboard of the Rings. So we're gonna go ahead. We'll have fixed teams like this, okay?
Yeah.
So Roy and Kyle, you guys are a team. Aaron and I will be the other team, but we're not going to stay fixed as prosecution and defense throughout the entirety. We will trade around from topic to topic. So, tell you what, you guys can't see the topics, so I'm going to let you start, Roy and Kyle. Would you rather be the prosecution first or the defense?
Doesn't it depend on the case?
Don't we get to know the question?
I tried to ask you guys if you wanted to see the cases, and nobody ever said
all right,
yes.
Will, how about this? Will, how about you read the case?
No, fucking decide.
And then Kyle
decide
and I
blind.
Pick what side we
God,
be.
You're the worst.
Just decide blind for the first one.
Oh yeah, we're prosecution. Fine, we'll be evil. We'll be evil. Just go. Just go.
So you
get this episode over.
Wait, come on.
Ass, Roy.
Is evil prosecution or defending?
Let's get this. Let's
prosecution.
Get this episode
let's go.
Over.
Let's go.
Prosecution.
You're like
I don't want to deal with
you. Like,
okay.
You sound like cheaty.
Here we go.
Nice. Nice.
Man,
nice.
I love
that show.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay. I think
I'm
that's
sure
a big compliment.
It was not a compliment. I'm sure you'd.
It's okay, Roy. I would take that as a compliment as well. It's already a point in your favor.
Okay, thank you.
It's
that's
already
like
a point
you.
In your favor.
Oh my God, am I Jason?
You, yes.
Yes, you're one of the most Jason people that I know.
You would totally vote.
If you replace the Bronx with Jacksonville,
oh my
you are
God.
Basically Jason.
No, there no one go. Has any idea what we're talking about. This is fantastic. We're the only.
I know what you're talking
we're the
about.
Only, we're the only five people on Earth who've watched that show. Oh my God!
But they've gotten two.
No, it's gotten renewed for another season.
It has for season three.
Yeah.
And rumor has it that one of the early episodes of season two, the one with all the really quick shorts, is going to win a bunch of awards. It's great.
That was a good episode.
All right, we should probably do this shit before we die of old age. This might be a good place.
Well, I sent in the chat there the first
Wait,
case.
What chat?
Where, so
did I get
the Facebook chat?
Our prosecution, the Facebook chat, so that our prosecution may present their first set of charges.
All right. My illustrious Kyle.
We're starting out small.
This is have you read the question?
Kyle. Yet?
My illustrious nope. Kyle. All right. So I'll read the question out. All right. So the question that we'll be arguing for is Core Stannis, or the statement, the proposition.
Hurry the
it's not framed as a question. Core Stannis is charged with being a huge freaking bummer. Like, this is just an argument in and of itself. It's a card that doesn't allow you to do things. And as everyone knows from the combo discussion in the Facebook group, this game is primarily about interactivity. And if you're making all my characters sit down all the time and they can't interact with what my opponent's doing, then that is a huge, huge effing freaking fracking bummer. That's all I'm saying. It's all about interaction. That's what the Facebook group tells me every day.
So does that conclude your opening statements, or does your partner wish to add anything to it?
I think you know this card is lame because no one's made an alt art of him banging Mel over the painted table.
Wow. Kyle knows how to play this game. Okay. Can I hear the opening statements from the defense?
I would like to submit as evidence that the Facebook group is center always wrong.
Well, I mean, you don't get to submit evidence in your opening statement, but please go ahead.
We're in Westeros. We're not in fucking America. I can submit it wherever I want to.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Okay, being combative with the judge is probably not a good idea.
I'll demand trial by combo with you. I'm fine.
Really? That's the one you want to
consider
go for?
Trial by combat.
Yeah, I'll try my combat with you. You're in Indiana. I feel like I'm safe.
Except everybody here has guns.
All right, so in my bingo chart, Aaron insults the Midwest. That's in the upper right-hand quadrant? Excuse me?
That was my whole card. Looky there.
Okay.
Can I give an opening statement? So while interaction is important in a Game of Thrones, the Living Card Game, second edition.
Oh my good God.
Unfortunately, for a card to be a bummer, it actually has to see some damn play. And Core Stannis is an irrelevant shit card. So it's hard for a card that sits in my binder that I never think about and I forgot existed until I read this question to be a bummer.
Bold defense.
All right. May I reply, Your Honor?
His partner counsel hasn't given any of his opening statement yet.
Your Honor, in light of my associate counsel's wise and insightful illumination of the situation, I motion that Core Stannis actually take a plea bargain. Because not being playable is actually kind of a bummer.
Oh, no, it's only a bummer.
Well, no, you have
it's only a bummer.
You don't make that motion right now, like, please.
It's only a bummer. Wait,
Roy, okay, first off, okay, sorry, Glazer. Just let me say this. Hold on. No, I don't care about turns right now. What I care about saying is this. If there's one thing the Facebook group has taught me is that
to hate America.
Players in this game are so honorable that they simply, it's such a bummer that they choose not to play this card. And that's why, because it's such a bummer is the reason why it doesn't see any play, not because it's a bad card. Oh yeah.
Ooh, I mean, no,
spike the ball.
Your Honor, I have a counter.
The counter argument is that Ray's bad and didn't learn anything because the card is bad. Like, it's an actively bad card.
If this card was actually strong and a problem in the meta, it would have won a score championship somewhere in Europe by now, and it caused a lot of
time. Seven people.
Oh my God, Will. Will, that's a
very
okay, almost
I would like to see if the prosecution would like to call a witness.
I would like to call forth any and all artists that have made art for this game. And I would like to show the blank canvas, which is Stannis mounting Mel on the painted table.
Okay, all right. I have an additional argument.
Don't we have to
hold on? Another argument for being a bummer, though, that some of the earliest alt art cards given in game night kits was terrible alternate art for this card. Another reason why it's a really bummer.
Collecting
spiked.
It was really bad.
Boom, in the end zone.
Bad at
sports.
Dude, Roy steps up to the plate and slam dunks a touchdown.
Collecting alternate arts is not a bummer. Collecting alternate arts is fun and I don't know. I don't have another word besides collectible. So, collecting alt arts is amazing. However, this card is not a bummer. This would be a bummer were it the only Stannis. But it's not. There's another Stannis that would be playable were Baron not a trash fire. I submit that, in fact, neither version of Stannis is a problem. It's that Baron is a burning trash fire that is, in fact, the true bummer here.
Do you mean dumpster fire? Who says trash
people
fire?
People in real cities, Kyle.
They can't fit dumpsters.
No, actually, you know, Kyle, I actually think he was trying to be ecumenical there. And, you know, dumpsters are something that trash is something everyone has in the Midwest, the West Coast, the East Coast. You know, dumpster is like anything.
It's
I don't
the
know.
One thing so. That binds us together as a
I don't know what fucking ecumenical means.
But point to Roy for using that word because it really appeals to my sensibility.
We have dumpsters, guys.
The way that I'm judging this is I'm literally just like there's keeping score with like tally marks of like who makes me laugh the most.
Hey, the judge can rule as he sees fit.
And then I might like, I'm going to ask if the defense has any witnesses that they would like to call because the blank canvas just literally fell over on the chair.
I'd like to call Roy up to the stand.
Gasp, gasp.
See how we don't hear anything?
Shock and awe.
Roy couldn't even be bothered to show up to his own fucking part of the case. Do you hear him?
That's bullshit. He just said he had
aware.
To step aside.
So, therefore,
this is a valid point.
I demand a mistrial.
This is a trap.
I demand a mistrial.
I think.
Your Honor, I motion that you dismiss the charges, as the prosecution cannot be bothered to present their case.
At worst, this is a well-hung jury.
Jesus. Those arguments were so well-reasoned. I'm ready to present a ruling. I rule in favor of the prosecution because they made me laugh. Because they made me laugh the most.
All right.
But I can't make you laugh because my wife is making me be quiet. So I can't be.
Lisa, you had 15 minutes to sketch up the alt art needed to shut down our case. And you couldn't.
That
do it.
And also. Core Stannis is while an irrelevant card now, the charge is against the card in a vacuum, and his text box is in fact a huge bummer.
So may I before we move on to the next topic, I just want to emphasize that Will began with this question because we got the spoiler that the Baratheon box is the next deluxe box. So you will know, but here's the news is you will no longer need to play with Core Stannis because we're getting our third Stannis as the second card of that box. So everyone should just be excited.
And its flavor text like is Konnichiwa, bitches.
Kyle's credited on the card, actually.
His
Kyle,
text box actually
it's
reads, play only if Wheels Within Wheels and Annals of Castle Black are in your used pile, you automatically win the game. So, Will, let's get it.
All right. I thought it was as if this year deck tournaments begin, elimination rounds begin 30 minutes later.
This podcast started an hour and 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah, can we get a juicier topic than Core Stannis? That was pretty lame.
Okay. Juicier. Okay, I think I've got one. Aaron, you ready to go on the offensive with one? I think you can get behind this one. All right. Your Honor, the prosecution, the state, the throne, as it will, charges tiers of lists with the murder of every other kill spell in the game.
The charge in and of itself is wonderful. I am excited to hear these cases.
Tears of Lys isn't just killing every other kill spell. It is now the only surviving remaining kill spell. Put to the sword, trash. Mutiny, garbage trash. What other kill spell even deserves mention? Will?
I think you just ran out of kill spells.
Actually. I don't know what just happened. Everyone talked at once. I got confused.
Yeah. I don't know what Kyle said. All I said is none of the others are worth mentioning in the same tier as this. I mean, this thing isn't even S tier. This is like Q tier or something.
That is bad alphabeting, and I appreciate that. It's yes. So important. It breaks the rules of the fucking alphabet.
Yeah.
Does the defense have any opening statements?
Kyle, was it productive?
Or do they just agree?
I'll let my illustrious Kyle make the first comment, because I have a related argument I would like to make. So
I'll start by saying that Blazer only named two other kill spells, so I think those are the only two he's even aware exist.
He attended their funerals, okay?
Wait, let's not forget, Mutiny doesn't kill. Mutiny also doesn't kill.
I'm also trying to figure out if trash garbage is worse than just trash. There's a lot of ambiguity in his assessment.
Okay, also, how can it have killed? It may have killed all the kill spells, but we still have kill lands, all right? We have kill lands. We have the kill characters. All right,
objection.
So the kill
objection.
Spells.
Sustained, sustained,
but the
shut
kill
up, defense,
yeah, characters
shut up,
and kill lands.
The witness. Sustained, Aaron. Please continue.
So it sounds like kill lands was not part of the question. Therefore, he's completely full of shit, as usual.
I'll say Dracarys, like Warm Rain.
Like Warm Rain is the basis
also
for
gives me a...
I would also like it noted that Dracarys is not actually a kill spell in and of itself. It can be, but
it could.
But it is not necessarily. Tears of Lys is always a goddamn kill spell.
Unless they save from it.
I mean, sure, it's still a kill spell. It's just a kill spell that was saved from.
Sit on that and spin.
I'm going to send you so many dick pics as soon as this podcast is over. Don't check your phone for a few days.
Glazer, those are definitely expletive. You cannot send those.
Does the prosecution want to call any witnesses? Maybe one Joe Miranda.
If only we had thought so far ahead as to secure the witness's availability
pretend to be Joe Miranda.
It's okay. Look, if Joe Miranda wasn't willing to defend his world championship title, then he wouldn't be willing to defend coining the phrase.
Hey, you know what? The one thing Joe Miranda has done is an entire life that I respect is refusing to give FFG his money. He determined the best kill skill in the game. He showed everyone, and then he said, fuck you, FFG. You can't have my money. You guys suck. We all know FFG sucks. Joe Miranda did the right thing.
I think I'm ready to rule. I don't even care about the defense's argument anymore. Will and Aaron.
Kyle, I'm conceding for both of us. That's just that was too beautiful.
Man, Kyle,
that was good.
Aaron, I knew you were gonna carry the game on this one. I knew that this was the case for you.
Oh my god, will this segment make it to the episode? Let's find out, ladies and gentlemen, by listening to
There's a good chance it may sound radically different by the time
we're
done.
Facebook group
Dude, if you don't keep miserable little hobbit life, I'm gonna fucking drive down to Missouri and murder you.
You should keep that at least. If you end up cutting this specific question, Will, you gotta at least keep this segment as an Easter egg. It's a so.
Oh man! Okay. So
explode.
I believe. Let's see. We have what, two wins for the prosecution and oh, the defense.
I thought it was
moment?
We were doing it by team.
Is that right?
It's one. It's one each team, really. But
one.
It's
one. For each
one Will, okay. Don't piggyback our sweet ass Stannis win.
Okay,
God, that was incredible.
All right, so one for each team. I'm keeping a tally here. Okay, so that sends us back to Kyle and Roy. Gentlemen, would you like to bring charges or refute them?
Bring.
Yeah.
Hater's gonna hate.
It feels like that's bring the it feels like that's the route to go.
Yeah.
It's just like the actual criminal justice system that we have. So.
I mean,
boom.
Okay.
Hashtag politics.
Here we go. Here we go. I'm dropping it in the chat for you guys.
Roy Moore just won.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. We'll talk about that later.
Exploded into sadness.
All right. So, my illustrious Kyle, do you want to read this or shall I?
You can read it. There's a big word in there I'm not real confident in.
It's so close, guys.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Alenis Machinations is charged with being really freaking horrifying to look at.
Kyle's really
I'll
good
let
at
Kyle
making arguments.
it's true. Just really stare at Joffrey
look at the
for
card.
A little bit and let that build up, let the feeling well up
oh,
inside.
Oh, it's that? All right.
Oh, my God. There's so many things I want to say. Alenis face is trash. Joffrey's face is trash garbage. I don't know anyone
it's
else.
Left and right there,
there
too.
So I
it's
guess
a dumpster fire.
So,
which
yeah.
is actually probably a point in his favor.
The
left and
is,
right are there.
Oh, wait.
Someone. I don't want to read the artist's name because
oh, no,
then I'll feel bad.
Please, the
but
judge
someone was
demands
paid money
that you try to read
at
that
face
name.
That... it's got a Rafal no.
This is real.
I think what Kyle is trying to say
is that guy's
here.
Name. Try
is
it yourself,
the,
Roy.
The second issue has set the bar of bad art very low, but this is just pure shit. Like
I can defend it.
I thought for a long time that that was the Knight of Flowers, but apparently it's Joffrey. I don't understand what's going on in this art in this card.
Definitely
Joffrey. It's one of the most iconic scenes. I just noticed looking at this again that Margaery is in Indeed. This art. Like this art is just so ugly. It doesn't draw the eye. It draws the eye away. Like you literally do not want to look at this art. It's paining me to stare at
May
it
I?
While I'm trying to figure out what this is.
If the murderous doll Chucky became a zombie or no, became a White Walker and then had an orgasm, that's what that
I would like my defense to center around the word orgasm. An extremely stupid Supreme Court justice once said, "I don't know what porn is, but I know it when I see it." And ladies and gentlemen, this is porn. Look at those mustaches. Look at Olenna's face, and tell me we're not looking. Tell me we're not looking at porn. We're looking at porn. And if fucking is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I will say I don't.
To be fair, to the defense, Olenna does have a very come hither.
No.
But
angry.
That's
some salty shit.
Closely
right.
Right.
Penises out.
But this
right
is
order in this court. There
right
will be order
right.
in this
no
court.
One wants to see their grandmother with a come hither look.
I can't because my kids.
You need a gavel.
No.
Your Honor, even on Joffrey's tunic, there's a lion fucking a stag. There's something for everyone in this. There's old white porn. There's bestiality. There's straight porn. There's something for everyone.
Your argument is lowbrow and a trash fire.
Dude, this trash needs to, this needs to take a recess, man. This court needs to take a recess. It's getting
dumpster,
too hot in here.
Trash, garbage, dumpster fire. Let's say.
Because of the point.
We need to start over here. What the hell? Hold on. No. Let somebody else talk.
Hey. It's also important to notice. But this card is loyal, and these hoes ain't loyal.
Okay, I had you were winning, and then that statement just took you down.
Oh, it hurts when he talks.
It's okay, I'll come back. It's fine. It.
I don't like that I have to pay 2 gold to look at this either. You know what I mean? It's like, I just made a bad play.
Hey, and instead, I'm sure Danny can tape it to your forehead. You don't have to look at it.
Oh. Oh my god. Oh man, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this
one went way off the rails. No, I thought we could just try to defend this particular one by deflecting to other pieces of bad art. But, wow.
Yeah, see, like, I think Will, I thought that Will would have the inside track on this because he knows the CCG card pool so well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would also like to say, you know, this art, you know, it has a lot of great things going for it. I mean, it was obvious to me that it was Joffrey. Look at his Serco. He's got the Baratheon stag and the Lannister line right there staring you in the face. You've got the Queen of Thorns, like you guys noted. You've got left and right. You can all tell who those are. You've got Marjorie over to the side. It's very clear who everyone is in this line. Their likeness just jumps out at you. And then, you know, you're stacking this up against other pieces of art like Roose Bolton. What is up with this creepy wax figure of a man? I don't know. Look at Selyse Baratheon. I don't know what's up with that face. What else is not great here? Even in the second edition, a dragon is no slave.
And I will submit that it's worse for dragons no slave because you actually have to play that shit.
Yeah,
how much is Befall Horinkiewicz paying you?
hey,
how long have you been with a Horinkiewicz?
Also, better than
Will insulted the great state of Indiana, where the artist for Roose Bolton, David Auden Nash, was born in the state of Indiana. And
hey,
all right,
no,
and so
no,
how
no,
dare
no,
you
insult
the state of Indiana?
I have shared a room at Gen Con with Dave.
Luke is not from Indiana. He's from Kentucky.
I don't think Rafal has ever been to Indiana.
How would you know? You don't know Rafal's personal history. I was going to Google him, and I had to look
up. I wikied it.
I move that Rafal Horinkiewicz is really just a pseudonym for Alexander Hines.
Rabble.
Chop it off.
Okay, I think I'm ready to make a ruling. Despite Aaron's atrocious reference to a bad hip hop song, his porn comments were too good. So I award the point to the defense.
Boo. He was supposed to be.
Oh my god! Thank you.
How is porn a defense? For,
I told you, like, dude. I told you that it's what makes me laugh the most, and that's what made me laugh the most.
You gave me a clear goal. I hit my goal.
All right.
Let's move on to the next one.
I believe
you did not mention CCG Westeros Edition, Brienne of Tarth.
Oh, no. If we hadn't gone so off the rails, I was going to talk about Dragonfear. I was going to talk about Anime Jamie. I was going to hit on all sorts of stuff. But this case is done. There's no need to reset
Anime
it.
Jamie is great. No hates. Anime
Jamie.
Also,
the Hans comment was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. I know my audience.
Okay, here we go. So it's back to our choice then, right? Aaron, would you like to prosecute?
I want to be as offensive as possible, so prosecute.
Prosecute. Okay. What else? Here we go. Here we go. This is another one that I think caters itself well to Aaron. House with the Red Door is charged with being naught but a poor shadow of its former self.
So I'm arguing that it is a poor shadow?
Yes.
So I don't know if anyone has paid attention to, World's Day 2. But
I sure didn't.
Nope. Oh, Luke hasn't. Damn it! Let's reframe this argument. Give me 6 seconds. Like, right, Luke. So I know that we're not paying any attention to the game. I also know that in second edition, it has no former self. You can't be a pale reflection of nothing. House with the Red Door is a fucking original. Much like, I don't have anywhere to go with this, I'm just going to see if I can come up with anywhere. Much like First Snow of Winter. Much like, name another champ card, Will.
Wait, that's in second edition?
I don't care. Will, buy me 5 seconds to come up with an argument.
Collusion!
Dude, you can't object. You can't object to your innocence in the middle of somebody's opening statement.
Wait, Luke. Luke, may I have a motion? Excuse me, Your Honor, I have a motion that we dismiss this case immediately because Aaron is arguing against his assignment.
No, we're not going to dismiss it because he's supposed to be in your favor because I think that he is arguing against
I hope
position.
He was.
I don't remember my decision.
I was hoping it was a deft way to just kind of weave around and come at it from the other.
I know how Aaron argued. He just forgot why he backpedaled what he was arguing.
Okay, In that case, I will continue the opening statement, Your Honor.
Sure. Sinking your case.
I would point out that the House with the Red Door, designed by 2011 overall world champion Corey Faraday, which I'm sure the members of the jury and the judge will also note, is the same champion card design credit that graces the House of Dreams agenda from the first edition of the game, thus clearly drawing a line to their relation and establishing the former self question. Now, I would also point out that if you look at the text of that prior agenda, you will see that the House with the Red Door is afforded far inferior protection. So this one could be bounced. This could be sacrificed. It is woefully unprepared for the metagame that it is going to be facing. And that's not even to mention the fact that if you get the most expensive location you can with it at 3 gold and then spend the full 4 available to you in setup, you are only achieving a maximum of 7, which means you will be forever at a disadvantage to other decks that can play a full 8 gold worth of cards.
Further, red doors are fucking ugly. Why would you ever want a red door? A stupid, ugly, useless red door when you can have a house
Will,
of dreams.
Will made a really great argument, and then Aaron, you don't know your audience well enough to know that every single fraternity house of my fraternity has a red door, so sad day.
You're the worst.
All right. Well, building on Aaron's earlier arguments, this is a new game. Nothing that happened in first edition, if the Facebook group has taught me anything again, nothing that happened in first edition or the CCG matters in this new second edition of the game. Okay. There's a new game. We cannot measure this card against Darkwing, Dark
Your
Birds,
Honor, if nothing
House
from
of
the
Dreams, anything like that.
You can't object during the defense's opening statement.
Okay. None of that matters. What matters is this card in the context of this new game. Again, I want to emphasize, this is a brand new game with no attachment. Use an unfortunate metaphor that was used when this was brought up in the Facebook group. This is virgin territory. All right. It is new. All right. It is new. Brand new. All right. No attack. And I also know from talking to former world champion Corey that he prefers the name House of the Red Door to House of Dreams. In fact, that was his original intention, was to name House of Dreams.
What's his original intention? To have it be location-based?
No comment. Okay, so I know that he intended it.
I have talked to Corey about this, and I understand these questions.
All right, so all I'm saying is that this is actually closer to one of his original intentions, which was to name it House of the Red Door and not have that creepy – it no longer has that creepy art that it had in first edition. So again, not only is this a brand new game, but because it doesn't have that creepy art, it is a superior card.
However, this is such a pale imitation that Corey quit the damn game before it came out. He decided he'd rather play a trash garbage dumpster fire game like Magic than play with this agenda in its current state.
All I'm saying is I back up my co-counsel's opinion. Christina Carroll knows how to draw way better than Horinkowitz ever did.
If we're bringing the art into it, I'm going to question this bizarrely waving tree here that looks like something from Fantasia 2000.
All right.
Also notable, Corey's not on it.
I feel like, okay, so no.
What
no,
is Kyle going to masturbate to? What is Kyle to masturbate to?
Didn't want to be on this.
No, everybody, shut up. Shut up, Roy.
We do.
I feel like all we're doing is just like shitting on this card. I'm dismissing the case out of hand because everybody hates this agenda.
Well, sounds like the defense is doing a very good job then.
Yeah. I'm not ruling on this because everybody kind of like made their case for like why this card was just kind of like because Roy, in his opening statement, while eloquent, didn't actually argue the case at hand. Roy actually made it a point to say, I'm actually not arguing the case at hand. I'm trying to make the case that this has nothing to do with the charge that was actually laid before it, which is that it's a pale imitation of its former self. So no, dismiss the case out of hand. Nobody gets a point.
It's a red imitation. It is a red imitation of its former self.
And again, I would ask you, gentle listeners, to go look at the art of House of Dreams. And now, and look at why it was not reprinted for second edition.
How they could they do that?
Card
How
game
would they
BB.
Possibly? Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist. When's the last time anyone went on card
just
game
saying,
BB? Let's
saying,
be honest.
Just look at the art. You'll see why.
Roy Rogers, when is the last time you run
when I posted the announcement?
I want to do another case. Everybody shut up. I want to do another case.
We need one more host, huh?
Why do we need one more host?
Because if Roy and I are doing every other week, it's just you and Kyle alternate weeks.
Well, Tommy hopefully can start.
Tommy exists. I forgot he existed.
Oh. Yeah. He hasn't been on the show in 6 months or more, but unlike some hosts, he has not officially told me he's leaving.
Luke.
I can't decide if that's like you giving me a compliment because I did you the courtesy of actually letting you know that I'm not going to be a consistent participant anymore, or if that's like a dig at me leaving the game.
No, that was a dig at Tommy.
We could probably acquire the wars to come if you really wanted to. So just do a semi-hostile takeover of that show and acquire Jesse and CT.
You know, that thought has strongly crossed my mind.
Poor Alex Black.
Yes, poor Alex Black.
Alex was on his way to becoming a full-time co-host here, and then he bailed out.
So steal his host.
Will, come on. You're a banker, man. Like, you got to understand how this works. The hostile takeover, man. There's no sentiment in this.
It's all business.
It's all business.
I was going to suggest Scotty, but okay.
Oh, I think Scott would be great.
Yeah, also good. Also good. Okay.
Let's cut all this because we're going to be assholes. Right? So-and-so would be good. So-and-so would be good. And then either A, we get none of them, or they know, I was number 3 on the list. We just didn't take it that far.
Well, in that case, let's put something else on trial.
Whatever, man. Like, I'm not going to be on this shit anymore, and I don't play the game. I don't give a fuck.
What are you going to do?
All right,
okay, here we go. So it's back to the star legal team of Roy and Kyle. Gentlemen, would you like to prosecute this time or defend?
Yeah, sure.
Star legal team is generous.
Well, we didn't really name what star. I think they're probably like a brown dwarf, maybe.
Let's do it. All right, well, I am.
They're a Puerto Rico after a hurricane star.
Oh.
Oh.
Jesus. Whoa, new line crossed, and we are in another state. Aaron. All right, let's do it.
Okay. Aaron, Ijo Chingala.
Here we go. Here we go. All right. I'm gonna lob a softball out for you guys. I'm dropping it in the Facebook chat. Here you go.
Take whatever ball you throw. All right. We don't need your soft ones.
This is really unfair.
See here. I didn't even have Facebook.
Nice. All right.
Just be surprised.
Here we go. All right. So we are prosecuting the fact. Like a nipple, how useless, like a nipple on a breastplate, this person is. George R. R. Martin is charged with aggravated manslaughter of Rose Little. So I began this statement with a Martinism, which, like asking yourself the question, where do whores go, which I ask myself every morning when I take my morning shit, where do whores go? This is a great way to begin your day. And
I contemplate this all the time,
right?
I also contemplate whether or not like we can actually write fully fledged female characters, but okay.
But I think anyone who has read the later books of George R. R. Martin's saga, A Song of Ice and Fire, will know that just Martin is, well, it's not full on murder. This guy is not, oh my God! What's the guy who did the Wheel of Time? Jordan. You know, he's just Robert not completely Jordan. Robert Jordan, completely murdering the English language, or like later time Stephen King, where he's just scraping things off his shoe and putting them on, you know, parchment paper, whatever you want to call it. Christ. But Martin,
you don't know what people write books on.
Go with papyrus instead, right?
Manslaughtering. There we go. Papyrus. There we go. He's manslaughter. Like it's a lighter sentence. No, again, I don't believe this. Like, it's really unfair.
We are charging him with murder.
I am like
vaping.
Like, no business.
The sentence in your opening statement.
So,
hey, I still get to go.
Aggravated manslaughter. It doesn't say murder.
It says
aggravated manslaughter. You can see, Will.
Yes. Oh, well, then there we go. Well, I stand corrected. The judge needs to drink less tequila.
All right. This is really unfair thing because Will knows that I don't actually think that Martin murders the English.
We all hear that, right?
So it's really unfair. So
go, Kyle.
I will say that Martin's crime, he's not only just murdered literature, he's murdered my hope that the series will ever finish. I wanted to say a couple of things that have happened since Martin put out Dreams of Dragons. One, Colin Kaepernick. Had a job.
Oh, dude, you know your audience, bro.
Two, planking happened and went away. We killed Bin Laden.
It's back, by the way. It's
we
back.
We killed Bin Laden and made a movie about it. Charlie Sheen has won and lost.
Oh, shit. I swallowed wrong. I laughed so hard.
Done.
Will Angelina. Has won a tournament. Will has won a tournament since.
That is not true. We all know that is not true. I object on false information.
It was a melee. It was a melee.
Okay.
I think this podcast has changed names twice since Martin last wrote a book.
All right.
Pretty bad.
Oh wait, may I lead ours? I think I have a very fitting intro.
Okay.
Our opening.
I also think I could legally drink. I could not legally drink when Dance of Dragons.
My claim is going to be weird, but okay, go.
So, let me begin our opening statements with words from that most wise and eloquent sage, George R. R. Martin himself. What is honor compared to a woman's love? What is duty against the feel of a newborn son in your arms, or the memory of a brother's smile? Wind and words, wind and words. We are only human, and the gods have fashioned us for love. That is our great glory and our great tragedy. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury and illustrious judge, I must point out that the prosecution's case is merely wind, while the words of this scribe and author truly stand for themselves. They are a great group.
I submit that George R. R. Martin cannot possibly have committed aggravated manslaughter on prose literature because Mark Zuckerberg already had the body. On the Facebook group, we were treated to the marvelous prose stylings of the very best kill spell in the game from some hobbit. We were also treated to the joyous James Booker bro wrestling promo. I submit that Mark Zuckerberg and his creation are the actual culprits. So they are 100% red-handed. George R. R. Martin is an innocent bystander in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Powerful words, but also not really that pertinent to the case at hand, because Mark Zuckerberg and James Booker are not on trial here. So let's go ahead and bring it back to...
Have you killed something that's already dead?
Whoa!
Have you killed that?
I mean,
Have you killed that which is already dead?
I think that it easily proves that the charges should be dismissed. You can't kill something that's already dead.
Martin Last wrote in
2011 of Dance of Dragons.
In the words of noted scribe and non-murderer George R. R. Martin, what is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die, indeed.
Such delicious prose.
But rises again, I think, we should point out. Meaning that Martin's writing is only the beginning of a phoenix-like rebirth.
Oh, dear God.
Indeed, think of all the people who had never read terrible, terrible fantasy literature who began because of George R. It might be a shitty shamble life, much like Khal Drogo. Much like Khal Drogo after Miri. But
look, if you got Luke to admit that there were worse things to George R. R. Martin, I don't think so.
I want to hear this because I genuinely think that like Will's selection of prose is fucking trash. And so I'm curious as to hear like why like it's bad and good. Like I like want to hear y'all actually argue it.
Ugh, do I have to really do
it? Oh, wait. You want us to actually argue it? I was just trying to like pander to a vague topic.
Yeah, but I didn't get a giggle out of it. I rolled my eyes the entire time you read it.
Man.
So am I supposed to be proving this is good or bad writing? I forgot.
I think this is basically broken down here.
That this is good writing? So prose literature has a long history of being pop literature. If you want the real answer, prose literature from the time of Dickens and quite a while before is not necessarily highbrow. Lowbrow literature is still literature. Is George Martin writing lowbrow literature? Arguably. Does that kill literature? No more than does every popular literary figure of the past several, literally, thousand years.
Look at that. An actual argument. I love it.
You wanted a real argument. I can do a real argument.
Probably reasonable. But within the actual context of like, Martin has his strengths as a writer.
Are you defending our side?
He is a relatively... Yes, because I like this is Will trolling.
What the fuck?
I don't care about this. I care about the last time I'm on a show with Luke make this point, which is that like Martin is fine. He has his strengths as a writer. He is solid at plotting. He's a good world builder, right?
He was a good world builder. Right.
He understands the tropes that underwrite fantasy literature, and he's interested in exploring those tropes in ways that are different than a lot of fantasy literature, particularly a lot of fantasy literature that was floating around in the 90s. All right. Now, Martin does have
some weakness as a writer. His sentence level writing is nowhere near the greatest in the world and does get worse as the series goes along. All right. Some of his characters, particularly his female characters, tend to be shallower than others. But to pretend that somehow George R. R. Martin is committing manslaughter against literature, or somehow anywhere close to one of the worst writers that is, one, in contemporary mainstream fantasy, two, is a popular fantasy or popular writer, is just false. Because let's not forget that Dan Brown sells millions of books.
I hear
that
George R. R. Martin is just a pseudonym for Brad Iyer.
Jesus. I'm going to read a poem about Tim Tebow, whose whole career fits inside the span since we last got a Thrones book.
Oh shit!
Wow, like, when you put it in that kind of context.
Man, you know your audience, Kyle. I'm an SEC fan through and through. Oh man, college. That's great.
All right, I actually think that
Aaron and Will made decent points. I think that Roy, like, you ended up arguing for them, but like, I think I'm gonna award it to that. Like, that those are good points. I genuinely don't think that it's that great.
The stands are full of eager fans who say we're paid too much money. But if they would put our suits on, they'd find football isn't funny.
I think I'm gonna have to award it to Will and Aaron's side. I think that y'all made great points. All
right. I'm sorry, Kyle. Like, Will set this up.
I thought
we got two more to do, guys. Let's go.
You did.
I tried.
Two more?
No,
oh,
you tried, Kyle. Sorry. I threw us under the bus.
It's three more. I misspoke earlier. But we don't necessarily have to spend a lot of time on them.
We don't have to spend very much time on them.
This next one, I think, should go pretty quick. I'll go ahead and say that we are going to prosecute this time, and I'm going to charge the promo Red Viper with identity theft and assumption of a false name. Clearly, he's actually Jafar from Disney Flat.
What the fuck is that?
What am I arguing? Just tell me what I'm arguing.
just let Will make the argument, Aaron.
Basically,
don't worry about it.
The argument is that this art is strangely not fitting for second edition, I feel. It somehow has a more cartoony, Disney-ish feel to me. And then the more I got to looking at his very long, very narrow face, facial hair, I realized this is an exiled Jafar.
Which one?
It's in the latest game.
I have no idea what this art
You would
looks
not
like.
Know at all what this
Yeah,
art
I have
looks.
No idea what this is, but I need
you
to.
You guys have never seen it? I just.
There, I've seen it.
I dropped
okay,
a link.
I have to see this because I have to know now. Wow,
oh, no,
that is
oh, no,
pretty
that,
striking.
That's Jafar.
I mean, it's not the worst.
That's Jafar.
That's pretty striking.
So, I would like to argue that Jafar's ability to escape the lamp deserves our praise, not our scorn.
I would like to argue that it is not intellectual property theft because FFG has a standing agreement with Disney/Lucasfilm. Oh, we don't know what the details of that agreement are. It could be that in alternate arts for their other games, they can use characters from Disney properties. And we cannot know until we get something from Evan at FFG or one of FFG's lawyers. But since FFG doesn't talk about the nature of its deals with its content partners, we will never know. But it could easily be covered by that agreement that they have with Disney-Lucas.
Can I just point out, I would play the hell out of an Aladdin LCG. Maybe like a co-op Lord of the Rings style. You know, I pilot Aladdin or Abu into the cave of
water. Yeah, I'm down for that too.
Be great.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think
so. Let's talk about the gleft club arm of Jafar/Viper and the like blunt weapon it could be by itself.
Can we just do another one?
Yeah, I'm ruling on this case. And
I don't know.
Sucks,
it may just
so
be time for the
I'm
judge
just
to rule.
Missing it as well. This case blows.
I sat there as he was talking. As he was nothing talking, I'm looking through the courtroom. Fucking Core Viper and the new Viper, and just back and forth. I'm like, where do we see Jafar? This doesn't
yeah,
make
I'm just
sense.
Missing this case out of hand.
Wow. All right.
Okay, there's two cases left. Back to Kyle and Roy. Would you gentlemen like to prosecute the next case or defense?
Let's just prosecute. Let's do it.
Prosecuting.
That I like.
All right, dropping better. It in the chat. There you go.
This puts me at a excellent. Severe disadvantage.
This one puts me on the right side of history,
no
on the right side of the Facebook group. All right. This is, and I know Kyle.
It's all about Roy now.
All right.
We'll explain it to you, Luke.
He will be prosecuting the case of the Brienne deck is charged with ruining the game. So, Luke remembers from when you're testing for Gen Con of the Hyper Viper,
the,
right? The high combo,
too, right?
You know, using, using Annals of Castle Black to and Wonder Woman, using Annals of Castle Black and now Wheels Within Wheels, which is the plot that dumps events in your discard pile to win the game. That is ruining the game. And it's simply, as we said earlier, this game, as the Facebook group is pointing out again and again, is all about interactivity, and there is no interactivity. It is also, to steal an argument from my opposing counsel, Aaron Glazer, based on a card designed by Alexander Hines, which, as everyone also knows in the Facebook group, is a huge problem. So we have a 1-2 punch of this being a deck based around a card designed by Alexander Hines, which, as everyone who, again, reads the Facebook group knows, is a thought criminal of the highest caliber. Cut. And so...
Kills Royce's whole argument, though.
The second point that I wanted to make is that the game is all about interactivity. And this deck is playing solitaire. You might as well just show up at a tournament with a deck of cards, a regular traditional playing cards, and just play solitaire and just win the tournament that way. It is an unbeatable deck if played properly. Again, as I learned on Facebook or FDB, particularly if you're in Italy. So if the Italians do not have a solution to this deck, I do not want to live in that world. This is ruining this game that I spend so much time and effort and time out of my very busy schedule to do podcasts and content for. Because it is not interactive, because it was designed by Alexander Hines, and this is so obviously a rule.
Do you have anything to add before Aaron completely interrupts?
Aaron, back off, sit down. I would just like to say that I pride myself on my ability to show up to a tournament with a deck I stole from the internet and do relatively well, and just kind of learn on the fly what the new hotness is. But it is a huge buzzkill to have to take the time to figure out how all these stupid combo decks work. And I don't really like that. So if they could go away so I could just get back to like reading a few cards that hit the table, that would be greatly appreciated. Because I'm with Facebook.
You know, you're
on
the wrong side of history, and you're on the same side as the Zucker murderer. In the meantime, Luke, do you play a Game of Thrones, the living card game, second edition, any longer? Does this deck have anything to do with that decision? Therefore, this deck cannot ruin the game. The game was already bad. It was already ruined. Our esteemed judge, by his own judgment, knows that this shit is trash.
I love that I somehow like inadvertently got on the witness stand, but I'll allow it. That's amazing.
We'll be amazing.
I don't even know how I follow that up. I was going to make some arguments about the like detailed give and take of the true meta game at large as you try to tech and counter other people's play and how much depth there is and how much enjoyment some people get out of crafting these elaborate contraptions of decks and watching these machines go. But
you know what? Neither did Alex Hines. Why's he got a guard?
No.
Oh,
damn right.
Wait a minute. So I should get a card. I at least was officially named.
All he did was come in second and like seventh. That's not winning.
Okay. Oh man. So I need to at least give Roy and Kyle an opportunity to respond.
Thoughts, Roy?
I want to come back to this. I want to come back to this because
can we go in recess and then do another case before we come back?
I feel like my arguments speak for themselves. In fact, Aaron was in many ways making them for me because he just refuses to admit that while the elements that could ruin this game were already in place, Alexander Hines, unbeatable decks. It was the Brienne deck. Hold on. It was the lack of interactivity. It was the Brienne deck that brought all of them together into this abomination that is destroying this game. It Frankensteined all of these little elements of how the game is.
It's really just that one.
And destroyed. No. Like you can say it, Aaron. Look, I'm just going to talk over here. You can talk over it all you want. And you can say it drove Luke. Luke is so farsighted that he saw the Brienne deck coming. He said in the back of his mind was, I see these elements, right? I see the flaws in the system, all right? I see the matrix. And he's going to pull the chute, get out of the game before the shit hits the fan. And the rest of us, we are just now just covered in shit because we didn't have the foresight that Luke had to know that this Brienne was going to break the game. It was going to bring all of these horrible elements together. The Viper was the John the Baptist of this Brienne deck. It was calling out for it, preparing us for it. Okay. And now we are here, living in this world.
Brienne is the emotional army Canada never had, now going around bombing European store championships. With her unbeatableness.
You do realize hold on. You do realize that like Canada has been a significant military contributor to United States invasions of foreign powers.
Yeah, right? And this is Alex Hines' army, Brienne of Tarth, taking his shitty plot and ruining the European city.
Hold on. I don't even know what the hell Brienne does. Yes. Hold on, let me look at this shit.
Some dumb shit.
House of Thorns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So do you know what the deck does, basically?
I feel it. Hold on. 6 or higher, just read the card. Power, 10 gets plus 3, 15 or higher stand. Okay, so...
Would you like me to...
Yeah, that's gross. What the fuck?
So you pump her to a billion strength and then you do 3 challenges with her.
That's,
and then you take a nap.
Also, yeah, also on the back.
Wait.
The Knight of Flowers.
I was going to say, well, the Knight of Flowers, he's the one that you like, he gets plus strength after you play
would you like, would you
shit,
like,
right?
Luke, would you like a real, so would you like a real counter argument? Yeah. Because I have a real counter argument, if you want to be serious. So, a real counter
argument. Give me a minute.
You can do this just fine, Glazer.
Give me a minute to just, like, process this, because why is there not a parentheses limit?
You know why.
X per phase.
All right. So.
I'll give you a hint. So, it rhymes with FFB.
From the darkness of the terrible shithole that is Canada, arose a light. That light was in Wisconsin. The people's champion. The prepubescent. We're coming from Canada to the safety of Wisconsin. The people's champ.
Yeah, but you said there arose in Canada. Like, why? Like, don't start it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just let him finish, please. We'll never get him.
People's champion.
This, if he doesn't finish his story.
Sam Bratz found an answer to Hyper Brienne. He learned how to defeat the beast. And the answer was Martell. Martell beats the fuck out of Hyper Brienne. That's my story.
I can't break it.
That's your story.
It can't break the.
We went through like 45
seconds of shitty exposition. To say, hey, Martell's a solid counter.
Gaston Gray. What more do you need?
Aaron, that would be nightmares. An incredible defense. If like I
then I already won with my Alex screen.
All right, can we get a rule? I motion that we get a ruling.
I don't know. I feel like
really.
I feel like I pivoted from Aaron's rank bigotry about Alex and abused it.
I think you
like
did,
a good politician to make
good points. They made better points, but I think that ultimately I agree with Will and Aaron, but like Kyle and Roy get
you
the
didn't let me make real points. You cut
points.
Me off from real points. He said, well, I don't give a shit about the games. I don't care about real points.
Oh, yeah, because you like are actually like trying to like talk about a game that I don't play anymore.
We're both on the game. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, move on. We got one more, right, Will?
If you guys want it to end, I have one more. If you want just a teeny bit more, I have two. We could.
Two.
All right, but let's make them quick.
Well, one of these will be very quick.
It's true.
So here we go. So our first quick one. Let's see, whose turn is it now? Back to ours.
Yours.
Okay, back to ours. You know what? We'll just prosecute. I would present that the Hound is charged with one count of petty larceny of the power icon. What the hell has he ever done in the novels that justifies a power icon? Nothing, I tell you, nothing.
There you go. Shit. I don't know. Yeah, sure. The Hound is a really good character who just sort of wanders around killing shit. He killed a butcher boy once. That doesn't seem very powerful to me. I don't really remember the books, guys. I'm not gonna lie. It's been a long time.
Who does? Who does remember the books?
Milpow is what you give characters who don't deserve intrigue icons, but are too good to have just power or just military icons.
That he is needs an excellent this. Game design point. So thematically, all right, the Hound saved Sansa from the mob in the second book. Which would have been a bad power if she had died. There would have been a bad power play for the Lannister cause. One of the things that was keeping Jaime alive was the fact that Sansa was a hostage. No, but it was a powerful decision that he did. That was a power play, right? It did involve him using his military school skills, but it also required an understanding of the political situation. All right, his involvement with the Brotherhood is involved in the power struggles of the Riverlands, right? His drive to trade Arya for service with the Starks again shows an account, like an accounting of the power dynamics of Westeros, and wanting to be a player in those dynamics, or at least benefit from them in some way. Like the Hound is far from the character with the biggest stretch of a power icon, that's out there. I feel like Nate set the bar. Nate and Eric Lang set the bar very low of what it takes to get a power icon in this game. And the Hound definitely
has a power icon, then how does Gregor not? I submit that since Gregor does not have one, Sir Gregor, mind you, then by no means should the Hound.
Sir Gregor and one of Tywin Lannister's right-hand men. And who was more powerful
he doesn't play that game,
than
though.
Tywin Lannister, I ask?
But Gregor doesn't give a shit about playing the game.
He travels the Riverlands, chops people's heads off for a specific reason, specific purpose, which is to accrue more power to the Lannister house.
So that he
not even to accrue more power to the Lannister house. It's simply because Tywin ordered him to turn sideways. He turns sideways and just swings.
Power.
Like, that's all he does. He doesn't show any depth of strategy. He doesn't show any ability to It doesn't show any ability to understand the power dynamics of Westeros. He just does what he's supposed to.
That's not what a power icon represents.
That's it. The Hound
power icon is controlling
the power dynamics. It's not even clear exactly what a power icon represents.
It represents nothing. We have chuds with just power icon.
The support of the people is how a lord has power.
Let's not forget.
Don't shit.
I think this is a really easy case to settle.
And what gives the era reducer power?
I mean, actually, it may not be as easy because, by rights, Sandor should have a power icon because he has a claim as a second son of a landed knight. No, Gregor's older. Gregor's older, and now Gregor is dead. So he should have that, but he renounced it as he took the vows of the Kingsguard, despite him not taking it as a knight.
First son of
the
world.
I have to rule of Will and Aaron here that he does not deserve that.
Yeah.
And as a deserter of the Kingsguard, he renounces all claim as someone who has been stripped of rank.
Well done. Thank you, sir.
Boo. There are plenty of Kingsguard with power icons.
Yep,
and this
agreed.
Is the version of him where he is a Kingsguard. He's just dude.
It's true.
Okay. All right, let's do the last one, Will.
This one is a special one, actually. Surprise here to my teammate,
that was
Aaron,
not the charge
and
that we agreed
the,
upon, Will.
Illustrious and honorable opposition. We are actually all on the same team on this one, as Luke Wortley is charged with high treason against the crown for quitting the game.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Well, you think I would
pass. I feel like I suggested several awesome ones.
Pshaw.
Is your defense that you had a backdoor hustle with Will?
No, I'm weak-willed and clearly out of my mind.
I tried to phrase it a little more appropriately for the segment.
I heard bitch nowhere.
Then you should throw yourself on the mercy of all of us.
Look. I think what's most upsetting about Luke quitting is Aaron so shows the low bar it takes to be a Thrones personality and be involved in the game. And the fact that Luke feels like he can't even maintain the level of involvement that Aaron, who went at his worst in over the summer, and he was regularly doing White Book review episodes like this, was drinking a few beers and looking at cards as they were being revealed. They were literally hot takes in the sense that they literally were just the breath that came out of Aaron's mouth. There was no like thought at all that came out of them. You're more involved now. Let's do this. But I'd say the fact that Luke can't cross that low bar of Aaron Glazer circa summer 2017 is so pathetic. That I can't. You're trying to limbo under the Manhattan Bridge. Like, you can't manage to get the tugboat of your life
I don't know
even the Manhattan, the Verrazano Bridge. All right,
from somewhere not named
New York
City.
It is a huge, giant bridge, okay? That you could do a freaking aircraft carrier. You know what an aircraft carrier is, right?
Hey,
go under
no
the Verrazano.
We're in the Midwest.
All right,
you know what an aircraft carrier is.
All right, so hey, I wasn't gonna make this specifically about the regionalism. The others said that was a bad example, but all my point is the fact that you can't cross that bar is the saddest thing about this. You leaving, that's all I'm saying.
I will say
you're worse than Aaron Glazer.
You could accidentally be more formed than Glazer is on a regular basis, and you can flip a coin on if you think a card's good or bad, and you'll be 70% more right than Aaron Glazer.
So, like, again, that's the saddest moment of this whole thing. Like, that's what breaks my heart. Not that you're making a decision that is what's healthy and best for you. It's that you can't make that decision and go under Aaron, like, or go over, rather, Aaron's bar. That's so sad.
You could literally be taking a longer than average shit, message Will, and say, some of these days,
seriously?
And be more involved than
Luke,
Aaron.
When's the last time you opened one of our planning emails?
Yeah, seriously.
Luke.
I know that because
Luke,
that is not
like...
When's the last time you opened one of those planning emails?
I haven't opened it today. I haven't opened a White Book email in literally like 2 years.
Why do you think I never know when we're guesting?
Yeah, see, you're so much more.
Will, are you
going to
roast me too?
That's why I'm like, can someone just message me when to be on? I don't read them.
Wow.
Boy, you know, I feel like I really. I think it kind of turned on one of the prosecution in the middle of that.
True.
You know, I don't even know what to roast you for at this point, other than maybe abandoning us because you've been cheating on us with that hussy of a card game Lord of the Rings.
I would like to defend Luke's
non-competitive.
We're going to throw
like
me
to
under the bus.
Defend his honor?
You?
I actually threw you over the bus, but that's fine.
I don't feel like I really know you anymore, Luke. Leaving us for
Will only doesn't
like
know
that,
you because just... Will doesn't truly know himself.
William Jeffrey Lentz.
Oh my god.
Stole this very idea. William Jeffrey Lentz stole this whole idea from a Cardboard of the Rings podcast. Will is dallying with that same hussy.
Meanwhile,
Aaron, are you telling me you
meanwhile, Kyle, while he mocks my lack of knowledge, has not participated in second edition. He went to like two tournaments ever in second edition. That's it.
With a deck that you stole from the internet the day before.
Will has not Kyle. And the rest was mine. Kyle has participated not at all in second edition. Kyle was a very involved first edition player before he could drink, before puberty. And we can debate whether he's hit that yet. But if he has hit puberty, in fact, he has hit puberty far away from the comforting arms of a Game of Thrones. And Roy.
Dude, Roy is a cowboy.
What does one know who believes that animals should have consent?
Wow.
Is it? I don't know. What people make fun
that
of vegans
is,
for.
That's a good one. That's a new one.
Oh, shit. To quote Henry David Thoreau, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life.
Will is following his dreams. His house of dreams. Ugh. Which don't have a red door.
Oh. Full circle. Full circle.
Hey, yeah, apparently.
Yep.
Well, Luke, I guess all there is to say is apparently if you've got 5 spare minutes in a given month and want to jump back in, that's all it takes.
Well, five minutes of studying the actual podcast is going to be roughly 3 hours. But, you know.
To quote Walt Whitman, happiness, not in another place, but this place. Not for another hour, but this hour.
I almost said that's something deep. That we're going to cut. Oh, I just say it thoughtful. Cut it, Will.
You know what? I already have a full page of timestamps. What's one more?
To quote...
Oh my god! Oh my god! That's really funny. All right, wait. I could transition. Let me find another American Renaissance poet. Let's find. So we had Thoreau. We did.
I mean, it's more transcendental, but sure.
That's the topic, like Whitman and Thoreau. That's the American Renaissance,
ready?
Right? That's
yes. Going to work, young man.
Like that's the title Emerson. Of the era of American literature.
Hey,
right?
Hey,
right.
To quote Emerson, "Where's Waldo?" Did you scare the dog?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mears. Come here.
Right.
I scared the
dog. That was good. Props and slops? Is that what I'm saying?
Sure.
I feel like that's what I'm saying because I have a huge prop and that is to my co-litigator, Aaron Glazer. We won the competition, if my count is to be believed. 3-1
They won two. They should. They shouldn't have won the second because I totally own them with my Alex Creed. But
you don't get to say that. You don't get to.
All right, this is pure bias. All right, Slop, the pure one-sidedness that Will showed to this day. This was very disappointing. Will is known as a middle of the road, stand up, nice guy who you can just rely on to be an honest, good Midwesterner. But not today. We saw the real Will here. All right, Banker Will
Melee
came
Will
out today. All right, this is all about Will's team winning.
Patrick
all right,
this is going to be his favorite episode right. ever. He's going to love the shit out of this episode.
If he listens to this episode. I don't know if this episode will actually air. Like, I will prop... I just slopped Will, but I will prop Will if he finds a way to get this episode to air
this
in a way that feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Because,
it is something else.
Wow.
I won't be able to listen to it because rage out at all the moments that get cut. I'm like, Will, there was comedy gold there, and we glaze right past it.
Gold.
Oh, well, I think, Will, you should put the unedited episode as a Patreon.
Ooh, you know, I had not thought about that. Raw audio.
Wow. My God.
You can just get the raw audio.
We should do a betting pool on how many...
I'm for it.
Boy, sir.
I would
go for it.
I'd like to prop Tommy, who's not on, but will be one day, sent a bunch of us Christmas cards from room 1136 of the Omni, also known as the Big Dicks Club, which is apparently the name of the room me, Rings, Daryl, and him say that this past Gen Con.
Can you guys?
Oh, that's so sweet.
So that was nice. I was like, what is this Christmas card? Oh, this is drunk photos
all of
from
you. Can any of you see the numbers 2, 2, and 2 without immediately having flashbacks? Like, every time in life I come across 2, 2, 2, I stop and think about those.
Yes.
That's so
that
sad.
Wow.
So
you get an erection with it, or is it just you think about it?
Only if it gets as far as Greg.
All right, so I have a very serious prop here, and I want to prop our co-host Luke Wortley, who I have enjoyed. Luke and I officially became White Bookie hosts, I believe, in the same admittance period. And so we've been on the show full time together this whole time. And we did many episodes with just Will, Luke, and I. And these were some of the most fun Thrones personality, Thrones entertainment things I've ever done. And I'm going to miss having these amazing semi-weekly conversations with Luke about this great game that at the time all of us loved. And Luke helped us test for Gen Con. Luke is one of my favorite people and was one of my favorite people in the Thrones community. And I really want to appreciate everything you did for the White Book, Luke. And I'm glad to call you a friend. And I want to slap someone, Luke Wortley, for being a loser who can't find 1 to 3 hours of his week to just sit around and talk with his friends about something that he has to, as I said earlier, barely cross a bar to be successful at. And the fact that he can't do that is really, really just disappointing. So props to this wonderful human being and this great father and husband and writer that I know he is. And he's finding the time to do that now. And slops to this asshole who can't find the time to talk with his friends. So.
Every moment that words leave Luke's mouth in an episode, whether they are quote unquote contributing or not, is a moment Glazer is not talking. So I don't see why we can't just be on the giggle at our jokes.
I would like to prop a place.
That place is a place I will never prop again. And I've never even thought of before. That place is Alabama, where I assume from, because that shit's all the same.
Right. But
all right, so if you are playing the White Book Bingo,
right, so you're part
this
of the
should
Dominion,
be in the lower right-hand quadrant, which is Aaron insults the South. All right.
Right. Aaron started playing Thrones again and stopped talking to me, so stop saying.
I know. I'm as annoyed with Aaron as possible, but I also talk with Aaron all the time, so I'm just used to this like random insulting of things that are not the Bronx.
We should make a map and see how many states Aaron has been openly hostile towards since he came on the podcast.
Today?
Iowa, Alabama, Kentucky. Indiana,
Missouri,
Kentucky,
Missouri.
Connecticut.
Missouri. I got no Missouri. At the moment.
Really? Yeah, I was. Yeah, awesome. I feel like this
Missouri
is a rare.
Will?
And to be fair, this is a pretty infamous discussion. Is Missouri part of the Midwest?
So
because we could just throw in all Midwest things. Because Aaron did call the Midwest. What was it? A garbage fire?
Trash fire. Nothing north of the Ozarks, or nothing south of the Ozarks, can possibly.
Now you're just inventing names.
There are way too many billboards advertising adult stores and Jesus for it to be the Midwest.
But we are.
Well, wait a minute. That's all Ohio is. Like, if you're not driven in Ohio.
I had Ohio.
It's only like some of Ohio, though. Like, it's really just the foothills of Appalachia and southeastern Ohio. It's not really like the rest of Ohio.
Guys, the road to Gen Con was like Jesus sign, porn store sign, then actual porn store. Then Jesus sign, then another Jesus sign, then an actual porn store, then two more porn stores.
I lived
store
in Ohio for 4 years. I feel like this is not the case.
And we know why Roy knows this, because it took him like 7 days to get to Gen Con. He has to keep stopping at the fucking porn stores. It took so long.
It did. But it was a good trip.
None of this is making the episode.
No.
That might make the episode.
All right, can we go next? I guess I'm next.
You.
I will prop the co-host I have with me here at the White Book. Y'all have been fantastic, and I count all of you friends, and I'm so excited that I've gotten to meet all y'all in person, and we're not just internet friends, but we're friends for life in real life, which is amazing. And I will prop a vast majority of the Thrones community for being super supportive of not only what we do here, but just like supportive of like being an inclusive gamer and not being actively antagonistic toward other people. And then I will say that a vast majority of the Thrones players I know are really, really nice people that genuinely want other people to actually like come and experience this community. And I like that. I'm going to prop the White Book because I love doing this podcast, but I feel like it's disingenuous for me to continue to do it when I haven't played any meaningful Thrones at all. And by meaningful, I mean like literally any Thrones since Gen Con. Really what it ultimately boils down to for me is that I'm a much healthier and like intellectually sound person when I'm not playing Thrones at the moment. It's less of a toll on my non-gamer friend social life. It's less of a toll on my intellectual capital, which I like to devote to my writing, which I don't know if any of you know, but that is what I do as a secondary career choice. And then it also is one of those things that like I just can't really be the player that I want to be. Devoting a lot of hours to testing and deck building and just general thought processes. Just eventually, like, didn't provide a great return on investment, and I felt like I had to make a decision to either be a super casual player that only showed up every once in a while, or to leave the game. And ultimately, I made the latter decision just because that was the better choice for me. I do love this game. I've been playing it since I was essentially 12 years old. And that's like the better part off and on for 15 years. So I do love this game. I love this community. It just, at this point in my life, I'm not invested enough to really continue buying product and testing decks and showing up to events if I have other stuff going on. And it is like a weird consternation that I had with myself to like really actually like finally make the choice to tell Will, like, hey man, I don't think I can be part of this podcast anymore, just because I did have so much fun doing it. And I talk to people now on the podcast as genuine human beings and friends, and not just as, you know, co-hosts for a Thrones podcast. And so that was actually the hardest part, was leaving this. So I just want to say that everybody who has listened to all my bullshit on the White Book and liked it, y'all are amazing. If you didn't like it, then I totally understand. I just want to say goodbye to everybody and say that I'm not entirely sure I'll be returning to the game anytime soon, even though a lot of people think that I will. I'm a much better version of myself right now when I'm not devoting hours and hours and hours to this game. So I still love everybody and would invite everybody to hit me up on Facebook, or if I have your number, go ahead and text me or call me, like, anytime. And if you're ever in the region, just, you know, within 2 hours of Indianapolis, you know, let me know. I'd gladly like to meet up with all y'all. Just keep me in mind, and I'm going to miss everybody. Thanks for letting me have that little bit of a soapbox there, Will.
That is A-okay. One quick little thing that I did want to throw in, though, that I didn't want kind of getting lost in the shuffle, so to speak, even though we're maybe a little bit past it, is that I wanted to also give you some props for all of the work you did early on with the White Book website, which I don't think we really hit on. You know, Luke was basically the editor there when we had a staple of active folks writing, and he was organizing and posting and proofreading and keeping that all trucking along for the first year, which was pretty awesome. And I think the type of job that can be easily overlooked. It's not something a lot of folks really see or notice or think about. So wanted to make sure you got your due props for that.
Yeah, that's how I became a co-host.
Yeah, I forgot that you actually started the editor stuff first.
Yeah, and then everybody realized that I was actually like super mediocre at the game at best, and it was like, why is this guy on here again?
That's unfair, Luke.
I don't know.
Everyone knows that the most mediocre person on this podcast is me. So don't worry about
that. I don't know about that. You had a good year.
All right, guys. Well, we're all sort of... Okay. I got to go to bed.
A good summer.
Yeah, dude.
All right, that...
And don't forget, Barabox is next.
Barabox is next. Wait, but Kyle, is there something that you want to say that could bring us close to the danger zone? Well, that closes another chapter of the White Book.
All right, good night, everybody.
See you, Aaron.
Wait.
Aaron. I didn't know if you were trying to like sly in a danger zone.
All right, good night, everybody.
It's high tech, Kyle. It's high tech.
We'll do it live. Come on, Will. Just go.
Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1.
I want to be on every episode with Kyle now.
The first one was legitimate. Like, it's just like, ping. I was like, whoa. It's just actually counting down.